Tottenham Chronicles podcast is a Pochettino's Barbecue production. In association with Does the Rwandan National Team Have Visit Woolwich on their shirt sleeve productions. Featuring two Sunday morning footballers enjoying the fast carnival that is Premier League football through cockerel eyes.
I don't even know how to begin this. It's just quite interesting. I don't even know how to. So, what are we saying here? Tottenham, we're 10, 11, 12 games away from the end of the season. It's been pretty scratchy since January onwards, really. The African Cup of Nations, the Asian Cup, injuries all coming back. And the last few games have been quite understandably difficult or lacking fluidity, put it that way. And things had come to a head with this match where the prospect of Aston Villa being 8 points clear, although we would have had a game in hand, but 8 points clear psychologically would be huge. I didn't hear the stuff with McGinn talking about it as the biggest game in Aston Villa's recent history. I didn't until afterwards because it was all brought into focus after the red. but yes, a person who would, as a captain, would understand the enormity of the fixture to lose his head so egregiously. We all know the reason why he was so annoyed is that we were so good. Aston Villa needed correcting. I don't want to really dwell on the match, although that's the last one, so we will. But the idea of them as a tangible threat to us, once we were scratchy, fine, bits and pieces. Lots of people saw that you could get shitty free kicks or crap on corners, just sit back and counter, low block and counter, that nonsense. So I fully appreciate that Villa were in the Conference League and it was a very good time to play them. They'd just drawn away at Ajax 0-0. A couple of centers off, so Conza got sent off. So this is kind of another like confirmation of things that we already know about bloody Europa League or the Conference League. It does fuck you up for your weekend's matches. But if Tottenham had continued on this Everton, Palace, slightly scratchy games, Brighton, slightly scratchy but getting through, or losing by the odd goal, you know, here and there, Villa would have had a very good chance if we'd have continued that trend of getting something and nicking something. And they had their opportunities-ish in a kind of Sunday morning, wait for them to make a mistake and then jump on it and pounce on it. Fine. But Villa were corrected. They aren't very good, notwithstanding all of the shit that goes on with playing in the Conference League and all that kind of stuff. And you've got Emery, who's a Europa League, Conference League, whatever the hell, master of this the kind of second-rate European football, which is absolutely fine. And in terms of Villa's development, it's huge. I think we can say United, although we play them, out of it, and it's us and Villa for fourth, which is a good place to be after such a statement victory as that.
Yeah, you think so?
You really would. They're going to be out. McGinn's going to be out for a couple of games. I felt. It's one of the rare big games that we've had this season, or that I felt. Like even like City away, Manchester United away, didn't really feel it. But this, you could feel that this was a genuine rival for the fourth position. And now we're in a situation when you look at all the fixtures. If this is the springboard for something interesting for the end of the season, we. Tottenham have a very big, will have a very big say in who and why and how, whoever of the three win the league.
Yeah.
This year, of course, if we win all of our games, we win the league.
Yeah.
Everything suggests that is unlikely to happen. So if we discount that, we will have games where we perform quite well and others where we don't. And then, and we, it seems there are, apart from a couple of injuries, but everybody has them. We are well placed to certainly be in the Europa League next season. Looking at fourth, I think as an overall, if you look at Man City, they should win the league and they probably will. An away draw at Liverpool is always good, and then you move on. Liverpool, I still don't quite get. They're kind of playing for Klopp, who's leaving, and so that's kind of galvanizing them, and he's playing a bunch of kids here and there. But they've got to, no real centre forward, I would suggest, of that team. And then you've got Arsenal with a very similar thing, no centre forward. Scoring free kicks and getting Tony Pulis corner goals. But we play all of those Scrotums. Yep. And I really like, and we're the only team that's playing, we're kind of unique this season, where when it's scratchy and people are coming back and you've got dickheads who can't fucking invert or can't pass, or, you know, it's different. You can't execute any of that, any of your plan. But once you've got Poro and a doggy back in, it's a completely different proposition. And there were, like, often Tottenham games this season where very little happens in the first half. And then there's an attitude switch, or a "fuck me, boys, these are shit. Let's just kill them." And when you press the go button, they really do fly. Mm. And then you get like Crystal Palace, or we beat teams in a 12-minute patch. Yeah. Score three goals and good night.
Yeah.
And Villa turned up without the right. They played the 3-5-2 at home. Clement Longley at the back. I mean, what are you coming to us with? What is this? And they lacked all initiative. We were slightly too passive. They were kicking people up in the air. They were trying to drag players into the trenches.
Mm.
Madison was pissing me off because he wasn't concentrating on his game. He was just concentrating on all the shit around him and people stopping him taking quick free kicks or making little snidey fouls. But, you know, his goal in the second half, Postecoglou, Mr. Carter, said, right, get your head out of the crap that they're providing for you. There's this big, murky, muddy mess that Emery has created here. You've got a bunch of narky guys who want to fuck you off and are begging you because they can't try and play football and beat you at football because they're beating you at everything else. So forget all that. Just bomb in a box and just have a run. And for the first goal, Sarr gets all of the whatever goal bonus that Madison gets. Goal, give it straight to Sarr.
Yeah, yeah. That cross.
Give it straight to Sarr. I heard somebody saying Kevin De Bruyne did something like that, you would just be saying, "Wow, this is an incredible player doing incredible things." And this is why Sarr plays in this team, and that's why he represents such a unique feature in amongst the others. And we know this. We know this. He's the legs. He can go. Once he goes, you can't get him. But provides the perfect balance with Poro, where Poro can go and do things. I felt Poro was, after the injury, feeling his way into it, and he was playing everything quite easy. But that's okay. It's, I totally accept it. But his ability to play these lovely little first-time passes into space that completely break presses are fantastic. And then Kulu, Kulu feeding in Sarr, and then once Sarr's gone, you can't catch him. But even then, you're thinking...
there's such a narrow window. Such an error.
The draws Martinez out, and then your back four staring at the Martinez, and Martinez's face, and I can't get there, and they're not there. The back three, certainly Longley is nowhere near it.
Mm. You've kind of got to wallop it because you've got a very short amount of time before Maddison's right on top of the goalkeeper. Yeah, no, he's absolutely thundered that in. But beautiful. I say the margin for error is tiny in that sort of cross. And he nearly stacked it two paces before.
He did.
I thought he was going to dive in ahead here.
Sanchez.
Yeah. But no, that was as you say, goal bonus, assist bonus, appearance bonus, his. All of it.
Yes, give it all to him.
Yeah.
And he done remarkably well because he got a stupid booking in the first half where he fell over.
Terrible. Yeah, it's terrible.
He fell over and you're like, oh, they're playing narky, the referee's kind of giving all this shit as well. But then when it came to the McGinn one, whoever, I can't remember his fucking name, the referee, he kind of lost patience with the whole, oh, your fourth quite good. I'm kind of refereeing you as a big team or a significant team this season. And then that happens and he's like, right, you're Villa, that's it, you're gone. You're gone. You're not getting any kind of favourable shit from me anymore. You're gone. And McGinn thought he might get away with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At the time, I didn't really know what was going on. Dougie makes that brilliant bait, looks after the ball, draws people in, flicks the ball away. They'd been doing that all afternoon. He'd been superb all the way through. And this was 2-0 after we sacked whoever that Villa player is, and then Kulu got in Son, and Son fed in Johnson to roof it.
Yeah.
And then they've got a team with three at the back, and now we're bringing on a bunch of guys who I didn't want to start in the first place, who are half forward thinking players, and then Zaniolo comes on and it's just a bit of a mess of a player. And you've got a load of people who haven't played this system all year. They've panicked. The negative 3-5-2 completely backfires, and then they've got no way of getting out of it. And McGinn loses his cool entirely. It was hilarious that Adoghi took exception to it, got back up, and went back down again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. His initial reaction was like, you motherfucker.
You motherfucker, I'm going to come for you. And then I don't know whether it's a presence of mind. Right, if I get up and confront him, makes the referee look like he hasn't damaged me, so I need to go down. So to think that and correct yourself and go back down again.
That's pro moves.
Is very pro moves. Swift of mind, yeah.
With the fact that he didn't come off afterwards, I would have thought precautionary, if he's taken a knock. But it would suggest he hadn't taken a look at all. But I mean, it's going to hurt.
Oh, it completely is. You're full power, and he's taking you out on the blind side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. So, yeah, no, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And he's gone through both legs as well. It's not like he just went through one leg to get the ball. Well, he wasn't going for the ball, was he?
No.
You could see the direction he was running was not towards the ball. He was going for Udogie. So yeah, no, he deserved it. But it was Udogie was dominant.
Yeah.
Like, he was kind of just taking the piss a little bit out of, not in the way that he wasn't doing anything to take the piss, but his dominance was clearly annoying them. I think, was it Van de Ven was absolutely caning Bailey.
Oh.
Like every time Bailey went 50-50 with him, he just got fucking annihilated.
He was just swatting him back down on the canvas.
Yeah, so there was a few guys out there who were just getting dominated, and Doggy was doing a fair bit of it. So yeah, begin with that statement tackle.
It reached a critical mass, didn't it? Where something had to be done. But absolutely very silly on his part. It jeopardizes their next few games.
It
was such a statement correction. It was a reducer of a result that makes you slightly suspicious of how on earth you're going to get out of this little hole. Mm. And conversely, on the the Spurs side, there's the belief, yes, you can do this against a perceived larger team, bigger team, or a team that's certainly doing well this season. And gives you that belief to continue running through the walls, to put you in a great place for certainly fifth. But there's no reason not to be. I think what I've seen so far, fourth best team in the league. That's what fourth is. You've got Arsenal who have lost all kind of fluidity, but they're just kind of grinding after last season of playing attractive football, being so far ahead, and then didn't have the tactical know-how or ability not to burn themselves out too early in the season. They've played a much more considered game now, which I think will only get you so far, because there isn't enough firepower or interest in scoring goals. There's a dominance thing, and there's an element of we're considered better, so the other team half thinks it. But there's going to come a point where they're going, I don't think these guys have got much. And again, no centre forward. I think they've done very well keeping Gabriel and Saliba fit all season, in a way that other teams haven't had the luck. But everybody has been crippled. Liverpool have been destroyed all over the shop. But because of this higher purpose Klopp, let's do it for the boy. Interesting, because it's just, they could, the way Anfield behaves as well. Like, I think yesterday, I think I tweeted that Anfield is 1-0 up today, and it doesn't matter who it fucking goes out there, who puts on the shirt. It's some kind of mystical, magical power that drags the ball into the goal. And strange shit happens. Yeah.
It's pure juju. All of them are doused in gas urine on the way out of the tunnel.
Yes, gas piss. holy water. So you think, well, you know, they're not really all that. I mean, that midfield doesn't do it.
They're not as good as City, but...
Oh, not as good as City, no. And with a three-horse race, Arsenal and Liverpool are going to be taking points off each other. And I think in the end, you can see Man City. We play Man City, we play Arsenal, we play Liverpool. We play United. I mean, our April-May is so good. But if we're playing this positively...
Yeah.
And again, the first half wasn't positive at all. It's like, yes, we have the ball. Establish... I think Brennan Johnson mentioned it in the post match with someone, I can't remember who. He said
cabbage.
Who
was it with the cabbage?
It was the cabbage. It was with Miles Cabbage. Yeah. and he said, "We discussed them and we discussed what state they were in. We didn't want to let chance intervene in any way. They can nick it, and when they nick it, they're a dangerous outfit. But they were there to be pressed, and they were there to be squeezed. And we had 8 days; they had 72 hours. And the ability to use a bench, to keep everything a certain standard." A high standard, and it was just an attitude switch. It's like, right, let's take these guys out now.
Yeah.
And in the end, that demoralised Villa no end at home. Although I think they were far too negative all the way through. But I understand it with the Conference League rubbish, and they want to do something at home. But Ajax, I mean, that would still be considered a good season, even if they finished fifth. Yeah. And go a little bit further in the conference. So I suppose they should go further into the conference than this. Ajax aren't... they have Jordan Henderson playing for them. What? what kind of hell is that? So yeah, it's good. We needed a big positive result after lots of scratchy football. You know, January, February, March, middle of March. Here we go. We've got some shit going on.
Yeah.
Which is great. Which is great. We've got Fulham away next. God, I mean, I don't know anything about Fulham. I know they got a good... They beat Man United. I mean, that was very good. They did us a really big favour when it just appeared that they were going to do something, United, to affect the top four. And then City... although Rashford scored that wonder goal, City were always so far ahead, and eventually United crumbled with... which coincided in some small part, miraculously, to Johnny Evans being removed from the field of play. And then the Manchester United team that finished the 3-1 match was unrecognisable. As a team that you would ever think that would get top four. So you would think Ten Hag is going to get sacked. He's going to get sacked with the Radcliffe lot. Not this season.
Yeah.
But he's going to. So they're gone. Villa, really, not really. And so fourth is there. Fourth is there.
Yeah, I think so. I would say. So. I mean, you know, and then some. But yeah, certainly at a minimum fourth.
Yeah, I think so. I think we've got a measure of everybody now. You've got the top three are going to be going for the title, so which they'll just they'll chip away at each other. We play Arsenal, Manchester United, Man City, Liverpool. All right, some bumps. We've got a Luton at home. Oh, and they've got the rearranged Chelsea fixture. I saw the first half of the game tonight. Newcastle, but two sorry messes of teams. Chelsea trying to pass out a back four. It's just disgusting. Then just passing straight out for throw-ins. They are sorry mess.
We've been there.
We've been there. Yeah, we've been there. We've been there for decades. we've watched that shit. But somehow Chelsea are there now in the mud. What a great play. Abramovich. Oh, what a guy. What a guy. He's laughing somewhere, the bastard. Yeah, an absolutely disgusting team. So that's going to be rearranged, but that's going to be a pain in the ass. That will be at Stamford Bridge, but their players are bums, man.
Oh yeah, no.
So many bums. You got Cole Palmer who wafts around a bit. Sterling is past it. Jackson runs around a bit. Caicedo and Fernandez. This is not the one. And I didn't even Gallagher. I don't know what he does. The ball is clearly his enemy. It's painful. And they gave him the armband. God bless Pochettino.
God bless Pochettino. It's
and the back four's just sorry mess, and they don't really have a goalkeeper. It's some going to spend that amount of money and be that rubbish. But they're going to change the financial fair play profit sustainability rules next season to help out Chelsea. They're going to change it again, which is great. So. We heard stories about signing fucking Gallagher, but it's just absolute mess. And I wanted to sort their FFP, but he's horrible, horrible player.
Great, dude.
Yes. So all to play for, which is great. Because if we lost 8 points behind fucking Villa.
It'd have been pretty bleak.
Just it's hard. It'll be hard to watch, and I'm looking at my old bits of paper here. Villa, this is Palace. Ah, what I was to say, I'm going to go through players.
Vicario, absolutely fine. Did nothing wrong. It's an absolute hero.
Which game is this?
This stick with the Villa. Cool. The Villa. I think the thing about, Romero, cool as ice. I loved Lenglet waving his finger in his face. The dog is superb. Poro is a football master. The Van de Ven injury, which I thought was the recurrence of a hamstring when I saw it initially, but apparently it's not that bad, although he could be lying.
Yeah.
But it was a situation where, you know what we say, that they don't, the linesmen don't put up the flag early enough. Mm. And there's a potential for injuries because you've got players at full stretch thinking there's a goal-scoring opportunity when there isn't one. Yeah. So this was an opportunity. This was an instance whereby Van der Ven gets an injury because the flag didn't go up early enough. And it's just unfortunate. He goes full stretch, but it was completely needless because the fucker was offside. But in the last few weeks, Van der Ven has been... He's been looking like a £150 million defender.
Yeah.
He's looking like name your fucking price.
It's phenom levels.
If you keep, and now we've seen Dragosin, and he can absolutely do a job.
Mm.
He's certainly Romero side. You put Romero at left centre back, he looks shit. Yeah. But Dragosin did not look shit.
I think a lot of the clips I saw of him just before we bought him, because I didn't know who he was. Yeah. Looked like left-sided centre-back, so I think he has played quite a lot there.
Yeah.
But no, he looked sufficiently quick.
Yeah, he did. Like, he did.
Willing to pass the ball. Yeah, no, he was cutting back onto his right, potentially a little bit too much.
Yeah, a little bit, but
that's fine.
But that's okay. That's fine.
But yeah, no, he looked good. He looked good. And I mean, how long has it been since we've been able to bring somebody on that didn't terrify us?
I know. Yeah, so it's perfect. I did like he loves a battle, loves a scrap. Can play calm when he needs to. Can fucking stick it up somebody if he needs to. But he did everything kind of calm. It was very aware of that he didn't want to look out of place, and so he did everything hygienically, clean and cleaned off after himself. It was very, very good, but. If there are instances where Van der Ven isn't quite there and he's pushing himself too hard, because your heart's in your mouth every time he goes. the speed is breathtaking.
Oh, no, it's insane.
Even the one early on with Watkins where he was offside anyway, but he fucking cleans the bastard out, and Watkins was never quite the same. But you're thinking, all right, could you just give it 75? I think 75 would be like normal. It's still for most people. Yeah, 75 would keep you there. You don't have to pass him.
He has been kind of unplayable.
Yeah,
the last few games.
He's like, you watch him and you think, my God, you're standing out. Like top level football, first season in the Premier League.
I think it's just a lot of it. Well, he's obviously an extremely good footballer and his head's in the right place in terms of decision making and all that sort of stuff. Mm. But to be normally, if somebody's as a striker, if somebody's bigger and stronger than you, it means they're slower than you.
Yeah.
And this guy's bigger, stronger, and faster than like 99% of the strikers. And
his
decision making,
like,
positioning is all good.
You know, when a centre forward looks at a defender. And the defender's got the ball and he hasn't got a pass on.
Yeah.
The forward's looking at him going, he's not going to do anything with it. I'm just going to run really hard at him and wait for him to fuck it up.
Mm.
But Van der Ven is very, very aware of that and just decides to burn him.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll burn him with the ball.
5 yards out of feet.
And I'm going to go. I'm going to cut across you slightly and burn you.
It took
Bailey by surprise a fair few times. He's like, this guy's going nowhere. And then he single-handedly dismantled the bloke.
There was a few, there was a few instances, and each one was just grinding him down. And then eventually, there was, I think, one of them, you could just kind of see this look on his face like, fuck, man.
Yeah, what am I going to do with this guy?
Leave me alone.
You know, I've been having a really good season. I think I've recently signed a new 4-year contract on the basis of me playing well this season. If I played you every week, I'd be playing in the reserves.
Jesus Christ. Yeah,
he was he's completely put in his place, as were Villa.
Yeah.
It was a perfect statement victory. It was like the end of the first season of Conte.
Yeah.
Just wallop. And the whole shit before the game was Matty Cash.
Yeah.
And Brennan Johnson was rinsing him from the beginning. Brennan Johnson, early on this season, we said, yeah, he's a good player. You can see that he's slightly overawed by everything. He doesn't want to make a mistake. And everything's a bit of an apology. This match,
he looked at Matty Cash
and said, you are shit. You are shit. And you know why? I know you're shit because I used to play with you. So I'm going to fucking take you out like I did in training every fucking day. And he was rinsing the shit out of the bastard.
Yeah, yeah. Over and over and over again. I mean, not a great deal was coming from it, but
no,
he basically ended his game like 20 minutes in.
Yeah.
Just like, I know I've got you on toast like, every single time. Every single time. I know it. You know it. Yeah. Let's not play
anymore. I'm going to slow you down. I'm going to go for a walk. And then I'm gone. I'm going to walk you down. I'm going to walk you. I'm going to walk you like on a leash. And then I'll run you again.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was. That's kind of what I was saying. It's just man for man, a lot of them were getting utterly dominated.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Capitan McGinn thought, I'm going to take it myself to show you everybody.
This is what
you should be doing, boys.
Ludicrous. Yeah, Douglas Luiz, everybody's been talking about him. He's like massive move. I'm looking at that guy. I'm not seeing anything here.
No.
The man can't shift. He isn't the one. Like, we were talking, God, it was only yesterday. So this Liverpool City game was fun.
Mm.
And there was a bit of bouncing around on the old Hackney Marsh's WhatsApp group. And I said, if you just watch Rodri for 90 minutes, you won't be going too far wrong. Just don't waste your time on anybody else. It's like, yeah, there's De Bruyne, there's Foden, and all this kind of stuff. But the guy in the middle of the park,
a genius,
owning it on the ball and ruining everybody off the ball.
Yeah.
And aware, and he's like the gatekeeper, and he's very aware of everybody else's performance.
Yeah.
And he's giving your performance a score as he plays. And he's talking to you all the way through how well or badly you're performing. And he's on everyone.
Yeah.
He's on everyone. There was a moment where John Stones, which I sometimes really despise John Stones' attitude, where he's just like shrugging, you know, yeah, they're a brilliant team and they've spent loads of money and they should all be kicked back into the Paul Dickhoff era. But there's the shrugging shoulders when passes happen. And then Rodri gets hold of him afterwards and just like, staring the bloke down, said, not on this fucking team do you behave like that. I'm Pep Guardiola's bitch. He seems to think that I play like him. I'm actually better than Pep Guardiola, but he thinks that we are the same. And I'm the boss of this fucking team, despite the fact that Kyle Walker's the captain. Rodri, before the match, was doing the last team talk. They were doing the huddle before the game started. Nobody understood a word, but it was him. It wasn't De Bruyne, and it certainly wasn't Kyle Walker. I mean, Kyle Walker, you wouldn't waste your time listening to that guy. He does his talking on a pitch. So that's my kind of definition of a defensive central midfielder.
That position, you're the closest to everybody. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So you are,
which means you're the guy who can communicate with
absolutely everybody. You're within touching distance of all of them. But no, he's a master of his craft.
Yeah, his ability to take balls into tight areas, but as a not like a Modric way of doing it, but more of a I'm invading.
Yeah,
I invade your space. And you become the opponent's like, oh shit, I can't do that. We can't let him. He's just walking through our defensive lines, and then he pops it off. And you're like, where did he even see the pop, the pass?
Yeah.
He goes straight towards the other bloke and then pops it off before you know it.
Mm.
Which draws three people and then he's already gone. The pass is gone and it's just made a load of space for somebody else. Yeah. In terms of, I mean, I never heard of him when he signed for City, but
where did they get him from?
Oh, Bilbao, or Celta, or someone shit.
All right, yeah, no, I had either, but yeah. No, he's a title winner.
Madness, and you're winning titles, but. To keep fucking doing it.
Oh, yeah.
To keep staying that level of intensity when it's just far too many fucking games.
Yeah.
But they do. Everybody is aware of City's record without Rodri in it. It's. It's Calvin Phillips levels.
Well, this is it. This is when you've got a guy who is irreplaceable and unbackupable.
Yeah,
in terms of what he contributes in a football match, then yeah, you're going to get fucked.
So did you watch Liverpool City?
No.
I did, and it was I'd watch anything after beating Villa away 4-0, and I will watch anything if we hadn't. Liverpool, like, bear no resemblance to anything that you would imagine as a successful team, but they even had Salah starting off the bench. City started so well early on, you're thinking, fucking hell, this could be quite embarrassing. And then miraculously, they score a strange set piece from John Stones, where KDB hits a outswinging ball where... From it kind of it in mid flight, it grazes the touchline and then swings back in. So it only ends up by two in the 6 yard box. Ake has McAllister's, the routine is that McAllister's on the line, first man in their post. Mm. Ake cleans him out,
yeah,
just ushers him out, and then that creates this huge space. So Pep's obviously been, and his data team have looked at the way Liverpool defend corners and realised that why is McAllister guarding or considered the protector of the near post?
Yeah.
We just moved that shrimp out of the way and we got a tap in. And then John Stones got a tap in, which in all of the wonderful football and the brilliant multi-million pounds, it was this kind of very strange, just move out the shit guy at the front and we can get a tap in.
Yeah.
Of which Man City have. They have that tight game. It's almost like mid-noughties Milan or Juve, where it's
a little bit stinky.
It's a little bit, where the fuck did that come from? That was nasty. But they kind of do it, and then the football happens after that. And then Ake fucks it up, feeding Edison a short back pass, and then it was an obvious penalty. Edison takes out Nunes. Looks all very untidy, but the Ake short pass on his right foot was dead. And then Pep takes off KDB in the middle of the second half, and KDB talks to Pep for a very long time. Pep takes offense that it looks like KDB's the boss in this conversation.
Yeah.
And so, like, mid-game, so he's gone off to, like, the second row of the bench. Pep doesn't like the look of this conversation, so he stops watching the match, goes to sit with KDB on the second row of the bench, but essentially saying, "Stop making me look bad." we'll talk about this later, kind of things. And Kevin De Bruyne is clearly saying, "Why the fuck did you take me off?"
Yeah, yeah.
He brought on Kovacic for a little bit of legs in midfield because like they were getting like swarmed. It's not good football. It's just swarming.
Yeah.
And if City matched that effort a little bit more, they could have walked in quite easily again. Haaland was pretty in a kind of run-of-the-mill 90 minutes of football. He's not really involved that much.
Mm.
Foden has been on one hell of a run of form. They kind of squeezed him. But it seems that City couldn't really handle the intensity of that, no matter who was playing. And then in the end, I think Liverpool could have got a penalty with the Doku. Yeah, Doku makes quite a high challenge in the box.
I saw the clip of it. It was shit. It wasn't studs forward. It's a high foot.
It's a high foot.
You could be given, and you'd be like, all right, that's soft. Fine. Mm. Yeah, but no, that Liverpool that were at their peak were intensity. So maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I think they're more likely to do better than Arsenal in the running.
I think they've got
that intensity, and even if it, as you say, with a bunch of kids, you don't even know who the fuck they are, but if they were all out there just absolutely killing themselves.
It goes a long way.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. But I think City are too good. Something weird happens and somebody gets injured or something, they should.
And again, in another situation where it's good for City whilst facing these charges that it looks competitive, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. They take, there's always a huge overconfidence with City that will always give them, that's why we've done quite well against them, where they disregard us or disregard their opponent generally. And we find that quite useful. You know, even drawing 2-2 with them this year. They do that. They go, these boys are shit. They're not really going to do anything. We sting them. But we'll be playing them at home, which will be one hell of a match.
That should be a bit of a stonker. Yeah.
If they want to go ding-dong. And with, it hasn't been such an advantage recently, and Postecoglou was talking about it. It's like, well, we don't play enough games, so we've got no rhythm.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get some rhythm after injuries. But now all the other guys are playing their European matches. That's going to be the rhythm. Because these guys aren't going to have enough in the tank, as much in the tank as we do.
Yeah, no, this time of year is usually where it gets brutal.
Yeah.
If you're in European competition and you're intending to take it seriously, and like Villa will be, because I don't know, were they in it last year? They weren't anywhere near it last year.
No.
Yeah, so, you know, it's fun times. Newcastle had their fun. And then they're not fucked.
I'm astonished how, because I thought this was going to be a dawning of the age of barcodes, and it has really gone out the window
with a puckering whimper, isn't it? Yeah, it's
and is it purely because Callum Wilson isn't available? I don't. And it was a little bit of fight ball. It was all a bit angry, lots of hard running, and it looks like they don't run for Eddie Howe at all.
It sounds like it, or it feels like it probably is, because it's been so quiet and insignificant. Yeah. The sacking of Eddie Howe is probably going to be fairly quiet and insignificant as well.
Yeah.
And it gives justification. Eddie Howe was never going to be the guy. No. Once you've got that much money behind you, they need somebody who's going to pull in your patos.
My patos. I know Mourinho will be keen on that one.
Oh, God. Yeah, he'll have a go.
He'll have a go at that, won't he? I'm just going to get another beer, won't I?
Yeah, yeah, cool. I'll pause it.
Yeah. We were talking about Mourinho going up there. Mm. Yeah, it's quite remarkable how rubbish Newcastle. Well,
that whole story just vanished. Oh, this, here we go. This is it. This is it with the next big thing. We're flying. Look at us go. We spent terrifying amounts of money. And yeah, it's all a bit cack.
And then all those stories came out that they had to get rid of a load of players. Oh, that's not what was... this isn't the plan.
It's not how this works.
Yeah, we turn up, we have lots of money. We're bouncing players around the Saudi league. Then we just win everything and we supplant Manchester City. That's how... Oh, sorry, now we have to sell Bruno Guimarães. What? You didn't do this to Abramovic, you fucked.
Yeah.
He can do it to Todd Boney. He doesn't know what he's doing. So that's fine.
I think City game the system particularly well.
Oh, yeah.
I think they've well, I mean, that's 115 charges. I suppose that probably covers it.
Yeah.
But it can't be replicated. It's like... The Chelsea way can't really be replicated. City, at least, they're kind of invested in fucking youth systems and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, they bought half of Manchester, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
They changed the sewer network system.
Yeah, they just built some shit, whereas Abramovich was just pumping money in with no real plan for what comes next.
They moved in, built a few desalination plants.
Exactly.
In the area.
Exactly. That's Soylent.
It's a community venture.
Yeah. But now that can't be done because the rules are going to be changing again. So Newcastle, they've struck very much at the wrong time, I think.
Okay, guys, do we have any other ideas here?
Shit. We're going to do a city.
Yeah. they just seem to have disappeared, which is fine.
Which is good. Which leaves Spurs. Now we're a positive team. We're shafting all our fans with season ticket
Rises. Yeah, I don't know the specifics too much, but I've seen a lot of people who've been fucked by it. So,
I don't really mind too much the 6%. It's the concession for the elderly. That's the one that's really... We're going back to...
that seems particularly cruel.
We're going to get rid of that facility for people who have no real chance of boosting their incomes, who've been supporters of the team for...
Yeah, they just don't like drinking beers that pour from the bottom.
But maybe we don't need their money. Maybe
no, it is really bad.
we're back to furlough. We're back to furlough world.
Come on,
this feels like a misstep, guys.
Yeah,
do we really want to be pushing this story?
I don't. Yeah, I mean, I obviously don't. None of us know the numbers involved, but. Is it really that important financially to the club to make that decision compared to what it looks like on the face of it and just the reality of it? Really, it's weird. It's weird. That decision, that conversation has to be done. Numbers will have had to have been crunched. Like, we can take the PR hit. Because the stadium's going to fill up because we're exciting and our beer's poured from the bottom.
A bit off the bottom. But is there an argument to be said that the stadium could be even larger with shit like this? There's all these people, 27,000 people waiting to get a fucking ticket.
Oh, what you mean in expand it?
Yeah.
I mean, presumably
you can. There's a lot of space above because it looks. You could do a third tier. I think
presumably that had to have been at least considered. Yeah. Not necessarily like we're definitely going to build a third tier, but it needs to be expandable.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But you can see it in the numbers. You've got this big waiting list. You've got people waiting for tickets for the Arsenal game. There were 27,000 people waiting at 9 o'clock in the morning. So they would have started to call at 8 o'clock in the morning. I mean,
how long does it take you? Because you've got to close a whole bunch of shit for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
So I suppose in terms of the numbers, you then have to take that hit and think, okay, well, we're only going to do this many.
But then exactly in their heads, they're like, well, just get more expensive people in the seats. We're already in London, so we can charge effectively wherever we want. Could we abolish all season tickets and just have punters turning up on the day?
Probably.
That would maximise revenue.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably working towards it.
Get rid of all season tickets. Well, really, we're going to be committed to these people all season long?
Yeah. It does feel very, very cynical. Cynical move.
When they just put the Burnley fucking match on the exchange anyway, you bastards.
No, exactly. But, you know, I already don't give them any money. So it's not like I can...
Well, exactly. No.
I can't. But, yeah, no. Stop it. Stop doing that.
I have no interest.
Or else. Or else what?
Yeah.
Or else. I'll write a very strongly worded letter.
I get rinsed on Spurs play, so I'll take it.
To be fair, I might still be paying that. I signed up for that about 20 years ago.
there's clandestine price hikes that you don't know about.
How much? I've got no idea. But yeah, no, I don't give them any money. So.
No.
It's difficult. But I totally understand the outrage. I don't approve. Down with that sort of thing. But am I going to stop watching?
No. Because I actually wanted to spend a bit of time researching season ticket price hikes from 1943 or something, or whenever,
in the 50s or something.
And it's the same fucking, but it'll be the same story, though. Fans, outrage. Yeah. It's like, well.
It's true.
The football's better. The thing with the old people is shit. I'm totally down with that. That's an easy win, and they chose to lose.
If they maybe reverse it, then does that create more of a win? Is that like a net win?
Yeah, but also these would have been under consultation with the fucking supporters trust as well. So, this shit, they all knew this. The supporters trust knew what the plan was. It's not a complete shock. We got these plans, we've got these proposals, and these look quite good. And then we'll put them by you. And they can't just not tell the support. Do they not tell the supporters
trust? I mean, I saw they made a statement.
At which point, why are the supporters trust there if they're not being...
That's the thing, I didn't read their statement. So, I have no idea. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, it does seem... It does seem, given everything that's going on, it does seem slightly foolish. What can you do?
Well, funnily, I listened to an American podcast and they were saying that for Americans, this isn't a problem at all. It's already too cheap. Like, you should see what we pay for the NFL. So they're like, I totally sympathize, but from our perspective, it makes no difference. And there's another podcast that kind of revealed themselves to be a bunch of Swiss financiers where they just fly in every weekend and then piss off and then fly off again. And you're like, well, it's not going to affect you, is it? No. One of them was like, well, it only puts 100 quid on my... on my season ticket every year, so that really isn't much. But you get the whole atmosphere crap. So while we've been slightly shit and bitty and patchy and a little bit sticky, if you don't have a core loyal support who support you through thick and thin, kind of shit, you potentially, I don't know whether I believe this too much, maybe the football's so bad that the support was shit on those particular games. But there are fans that support you no matter what, and they're kind of just blindly screaming their heads off and creating Anfield.
Yeah.
where, you know, I don't agree with the tourism thing makes the atmosphere shit.
No, I don't think so. I think just generally people aren't necessarily.
I also think if you're there to watch one game and you've flown around the world, you're going to be quite keen on it, aren't you? You're going to be. You're not going to sit there like you're in a museum. But with how many? So 60,000 stadium, 60,000 with some change. You've got, what is that, 30,000 season ticket-ish? Something like that? It's got to be
yeah,
more.
Yeah, I believe so.
Maybe, something like that. And then all the other guys, corporates and the people who just buy tickets on the day, which is not on the day. You can't buy a ticket on the day. It comes in well that way, but in advance. But yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this, but I just find it quite interesting. We're going to be in Europe in next season, some kind of Europe. So that's good. That's why, because I want to go on away trips again.
Yeah.
We'll go to some European city next year, one that we haven't been to, and enjoy that. That I enjoy, but for something like that, it's relatively inexpensive when you consider that you don't go to any games. So if you just go for it on one, and particularly if you're going to Europe, where it's cheaper anyway.
Generally speaking, yeah.
Yeah. For a football related adventure, you know, the other activities around it may be quite expensive, but the football bits are quite cheap, as we have found in the times that we've done that kind of thing. So, yeah. I mean, but this is why 20,000 people are queuing up for the ending of our season, because it's going to be quite fun.
Oh, it's going to be lively.
City, Manchester United, fucking Arsenal, Liverpool.
Yeah.
We're all doing these big ones at big times. It's not wasted big fixtures in shitty times of the year. It is the business end, and all the big teams are going for it. And Tottenham could potentially be... yes, we said we win all the matches, we win a league, but that's not going to happen. But we're going to
Kingmakers.
Stop. Yeah, Kingmakers are going to stop someone from winning the league or help someone win the league.
Yeah.
And that's fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it
and
absolutely
that's fun.
Is.
And if they get a taste for that, being in and around winning shit, even if it is the opponent, get a flavour for that, get an idea of what it takes to do this shit, and with some more tweaks, getting rid of more bums. Don Penitentiary is still doing his shit.
We're close.
Not too much of a leap, because everybody's kind of doing a similar thing. You know, Klopp's gone. So that's a whole... What kind of bastard is going to walk into that?
Yeah.
And get anything out of that?
Yeah. Is he going to be Nagelsmann?
Yeah.
Is he anywhere?
He's nowhere.
So, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. He's Germany, but he's nowhere.
Yeah. Is he actual? Oh, is he German?
He's German. Team. Yeah, national team. Yeah.
Shit.
He's recalled Tony Cruz. Everything's fine.
Fine. Zidane.
He doesn't even. He's not even a manager.
he's an artist.
He's not a manager.
He creates installations.
So yeah. Some art pieces. Maybe Arteta's waiting around for Pep and Klopp to fuck off and be in an excellent place. But people will have, if Tottenham continue this thing on with positive, high energy football, it's going to blow. It's going to be better than what Arsenal are doing, which is I really don't know what it is. It was more interesting last season, but then they were accused of being naive. So now they're not naive. They're battle-hardened and tactically aware and don't give much away, and it's just fucking shit. and wait for corners.
Right. You're not gonna win anything with this.
No.
Because you're basically a jobbing central midfielder who David Moyes loves. So yeah, in terms of vision, I'm not sure there's much. And once Pep's gone, you've got nothing to copy. If we carry on with this positive shit, my God.
Yeah, I mean, the whole second season syndrome will be interesting. But it's the relentlessness should... It's similar in a way to the Liverpool intensity thing. It's just kind of like, even if you know it's coming, it doesn't really matter. There's not a huge amount you can do about it. And like the Villa game was evidence of that, just in terms of men dominating their opposite man. And the more we fill our squad up with players who do that, and we've got several in there now, it doesn't really matter. If you've seen us do what we do, we're still going to do it. Mm. We're just going to try to do it. So that'll be the interesting thing about playing the potential title winners, the top three, is that, well, they've got to beat us, really, if they wanted to stay in the race. So it's a little bit different. Like Villa, I'd say, for a team who are competing, or at least wanted to believe that they were competing, then you should be trying to do against us what you've been doing against other teams. Shouldn't really be trying to play us instead of playing your game.
Because
for a long time, it was very much us kind of playing the opposition's game. Like, yeah, it's not fun. It's not fun.
No. But it's not what you're here for. While it was slightly scratchy as well. I think it's a very bad way of thinking, particularly in the new team, we said this earlier, our 1-11 don't even have 1-11. So we haven't established our first team. They haven't even played one season changing. As a first team.
Yeah.
So Van de Ven is 34, 38, or whatever the fuck his number is. There's lots of big numbers in that in that team. I mean, we're getting rid of those guys. And what I hated to hear when we were not being fluid, we didn't look like a coherent team, without understanding all of the reasons why, which was fucking numerous, I heard people talking about fucking plan B. A has not even been established yet.
Yeah.
So how would you even begin to do that? And because I'm a player being told to play this certain way, of which I want to, because that's what children love to do, play attacking, forward-thinking football, and no matter what the slings and arrows occur in life, in a game, in a 90 minutes of football, you can surmount it, you can get over it, and you can score and win and be... and have a great time. But if you deviated at all from let's keep it tight, boys, and chuck it up to the big fella, what am I listening to here? What do you actually believe in the thing that you're telling us? You know, that whole speech that you gave us at the beginning of the season, how about, you know, Spurs...
You told me to enjoy my lunch.
We're going to be enjoying my lunch. So we're going to be an unrecognisable team from the team that you saw last season. Oh, no, we're just going to chuck up to the big man now.
Yeah.
So it was it was never a choice of plan B. It's just we need to establish what plan A is, and we're definitely there. And it needed, all players are slightly different, and some are taking more convincing than others, and some take it on too much. Because sometimes people just forget their defensive duties. Well, oh no, we're just going to play football. No, you need to do your doggies as well.
Yeah.
And in order to establish that plan A, you need to spend enough time doing it. And we're using this season as a testing ground to weed out players, establish links with all the players and how to execute the plan better, and how to get better people to do better things, and formulate this cohesive unit, all doing this thing that last season you didn't know and half of you blokes never even met before. We're learning quick.
Yeah.
And the development is
is remarkable. It's coincided with the shortfall of the falling away of other teams, which is absolutely acceptable as well. But if you look at the how this season is shaped up, we've kind of been in and around it, not kind of losing much, whilst trying to build this new system.
Yeah, and then missing half of...
Which is great.
Nearly half of the players for...
Yeah, and then everybody was fucked. Yeah, everybody was fucked. So, and now, hopefully, the switch is flicked, and they're ready to now jump on this thing that is exciting and very much fresh in comparison to everybody else in the league. Nobody else is doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Including the top teams, because the top teams are so aware of success and hierarchy and how what your place is, and we're kind of data, in a way we're data free, but it's just win it back early, get balls into pull backs, and then gets first time finishes off, boom, keep going doing that.
And
we're going to be dangerous. We're going to be dangerous for the rest of the season. And again, with the European shit taking its toll, one game a week, it really is. It did. So for while we were shit and scratchy, the one game a week was awful because we had no rhythm. But now, with a victory like that, the belief is there. Do this harder, with a lot more initiative than what you saw in the first half against Villa. They know it's always coming. That's the great thing about if you play the same way always, your opponent always knows or always expects it to come.
Yeah.
But subtly, you can say to the boys, 50% this half. But your opponent's going, we're doing a great job here. We're really holding them down. It's like, I don't think they know that we're 50% in this, guys. I don't think they know. And you know what? Halftime's going to come. And you know what happens at halftime? We come out at 75%. Shades of 90 for 10 minutes.
Yeah, flashes of 90.
Yeah, flashes of 90. Just some spikes here and there. Which is hilarious because, last season, Conte and Mourinho before that were writing off entire first halves. We're doing it a different way. But they kind of didn't know, they kind of knew but didn't know what was going on. It was like, these guys are just going to wait to the end, see if they can nick something. Whereas Tottenham, they now, in its current guise, they want to, the lightning wants to strike, but it probably is at 50th minute. It's around then. we don't run away with anything. Like, in the first half an hour, the first 45 minutes is, assert dominance.
Pull people around.
Establish who the better team is. Demoralise quietly. And then strike and then demoralise further.
Yeah.
And then beat a side in no time at all. That's the great thing, and it bore a great deal of Aston Villa fruit.
Yes.
The Tottenham Chronicles podcast is a Pochettino's Barbecue production in association with Does the Rwandan National Team Have Visit Woolwich on their shirt sleeve productions, featuring two Sunday morning footballers enjoying the fast carnival that is Premier League football through cockerel eyes.